Revelation chapter 1. Start reading with me, please, in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me of a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Look with me in verse 17. Notice this little phrase. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Notice this now. And he laid his right hand upon me. Amen. I want to preach on a message this morning. I need God's right hand. Amen. I need God's right hand. Be seated, please. And let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege of prayer. Lord, we're glad that we can call on you this morning. Lord, that you're not out of town. You're not sick. You're not afflicted. Lord, you're not missing. Lord, you're there on the throne. Thank you. Lord, we're glad we know you're home, because we feel the touch now. Lord, we're glad that we don't have to have an appointment to reach you. Lord, we can call on you anytime, all the time. Thank you, Lord, that heaven's always open to the cry of a Christian and the cry of a sinner. Now I pray, God, this morning that you might touch this congregation. Speak to our hearts. Fill us, God, with your presence. Lord, may we go out of this building rejoicing and glad that we came, and better by being here than by staying at home. I pray, God, that you'll give us what we need to direct us and to lead us, and, Lord, that'll guide us in the right direction. Father, fill our souls with the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thanks be unto God. I need His right hand. I need His right hand. Now, I'm glad that God has given us the Word of God. Amen. This book is from heaven. This is a divine, appointed, sent book. Amen. This is God's letter from glory. Amen. It didn't come from the White House. It come from God's house. Amen. And I'm talking about His throne in heaven. I appreciate that. Brother, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you three or four things that the Word of God will do for you. It'll help you. Number one, it'll encourage you. If you're discouraged, the Word of God can encourage you. Brother, I don't know anything else that'll encourage you anymore. You can go to your friends. Your friends can give you a word of encouragement. Your neighbors might be able to give you a word of encouragement. Your family might give you a word of encouragement. But there's nothing that'll encourage your soul like the Word of God from heaven. Amen. Brother, I've opened it up many times. It's encouraged my soul. Not only will it encourage you, but it will enrich you. Amen. Make you richer. I'm not talking about financially, even though I believe if you follow it, God will do that for you. But what it will do in enriching you is make you to grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior. In other words, it will mature you. Are you weak, frail? Are you inadequate when it comes to speaking for God and speaking and living and walking for God? Then the Word of God will enrich you. Amen. It will enrich you. Not only that, but it will enlighten you. The Word of God will enlighten your soul. What's that mean? God will turn the light bulb on. Amen. In the dark, you don't know where you're going, how you're headed, but the Word of God will turn on the light. Thank God, God's enlightened me many times. I didn't know where to go, didn't know how to live, didn't know what to do. I've been at wit's end, didn't know what in the world to do next, but God turned the light on. Brother, when God turned the light on, something happened. Brother, I begin to walk in the dark hours in the light. Begin to walk in the light as He's in light. The Bible said in 1 John 1:7, we'll have what? Fellowship one with another when we walk in the light. I give God the praise and the glory. Not only that, but it will enable us. Sometimes we feel like we're so inadequate, so little, so weak, but the Word of God will enable us. The Word of God will make us strong enough. It'll make us what we need to be. It will equip us. It will give us exactly what we need to have. The strength of God to run the race for the glory of God. What is it? Oh, Elijah sat down there and God gave him just a little food from heaven. Amen. The angels come and fed him. And he went for the space of a long time, 40 days. Amen. I want you to know the Word of God can enrich you. It can enable you. It can enlighten you. But it will encourage you. Thank God for the Word of God. But it won't if you don't open it up. Amen. It won't if you don't open it up. Now, you know why people don't get all this enrichment, all this enlightenment, all this enabling? I'll tell you why. It's because they don't read it. Now, in the Old Testament, let me give you something in general. In the Old Testament, we find Christ is revealed in all of it. From Genesis to Malachi, Christ is revealed. And how is He revealed? He's revealed in prophecy. He's prophesied from Genesis to Malachi. I'm teaching this in Sunday school this morning, that the Old Testament is primarily prophecy, prophesying that the Messiah will come, that the Lord will come. Amen. And then when you get to the New Testament, what's it do? It fulfills the Old Testament prophecies and shows us that He's come in the Gospels. What does the Gospels do? The Gospels are the history book telling us what happened to Jesus, what Jesus did, where He went, and what He done for all mankind. We get that. And at the end we find that He died, He rose from the dead, and ascended back into heaven. That's what the Gospels tell us. Then we get to Acts and we get to the epistles. What do? They begin to teach us and tell us and train us and put us on the right road to walk for God. You know what He does? First of all, we'll find in them those that He saves us. Amen. And He sanctifies us. And He sets us apart and separates us from the world that we can go and be what God wants us to be. Amen. That's what the epistles and Acts does for us and trains us up in the knowledge and the nurture of God. Then we get over the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews said He went into heaven. Of course, some of the Gospels say that too. He went into heaven, seated down, and today He's making intercession for us at the right hand of God. And we read the book of Hebrews, then we skip over the book of Revelation, and Revelation said, yep, Hebrews is right. He's here. He's in glory. Hebrews said He's going, He's there, He's in the presence of God. And now we get to Revelation and we find Him speaking from the throne of God. Amen. Now you wouldn't know that if you didn't read it. Amen. Now you know why you don't know it? Let me give you some reasons why people don't know the Word of God. Number one, they don't read it. Number two, they don't read it. Number three, they don't read it. Amen. And you can put down ever how many you want to there. Fill your page up if you'd like. But the reason they don't know is because they don't read it. Now, why won't they read it? I'll give you some reason why they don't read it. Number one, a lot of them are lost. A lot of lost people in church will not read the Bible. The Bible's not exciting to a lost man or woman. If you're not saved, you won't want the Word of God. You despise the Word of God. You'll run from the Word of God. Listen, that's one good indication to tell this morning where you're saved or lost. How much do I love the Word of God? How much do I want the Word of God? How much do I desire the Word of God? If you don't read the Bible and don't want to read the Bible and despise to read the Bible, what you need is get on your knees before God and cry out to God. Ask God to forgive you and save your soul, because God puts a love of the Word of God in the heart of a man or woman who gets saved. It's not right for a saved person not to read the Bible. But there's some other reasons. You can be saved and not read it. You can be saved and not read it. Well, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. We let the multitudes, we let the world, we let the things around us get us away from it. Our possessions sometimes can keep us from coming to God and reading the Word of God. Pleasures in life can keep us. The more a man has, the more he loves his pleasures. Amen. One of the worst things this country's ever experienced and had is prosperity. We've got too much. Brother, people don't have nothing, don't have much, call on God more than those who've got plenty. Brother, that's just the way it's been since man's come on the face of the earth. You don't have nothing, you cry out to God for it. But if you've got plenty, you don't take time to even thank God for it. You just go right on down the road. Every now and then you whisper out a little prayer. But I'll tell you, when you get in need, you'll call on God. Prosperity has ruined us. And so that's what happens. We get our little pleasures and our little things and our little things that satisfy us. And then guess what? We get so happy with that and we will not read the Word of God. Then I'll tell you something else. We begin not only to love the world, but we go to sleep. Did you know today we got a lot of people in church that's been laid, they laid themselves down in the lap of Delilah, so to speak. That's what Samson did. Samson was in the wrong place, and guess what? He laid his head down in the lap of the devil, in the lap of Delilah, and brother, he broke his heart, and not broke his heart, but opened his heart and give her his heart. And guess what? Brother, he lost his eyesight and lost his power with God. And that's what's happened to a lot of people in our churches this morning. We've lost our power and our eyesight. And brother, we don't even know that God has departed from us like Samson. And we get to that place, listen, we're going to be miserable. You're not going to read the Bible. Amen. Now, if you don't have a love for the Bible this morning, you need to get ready and get rid of that junk in your life and let God have number one place. God don't have number one place, the Word of God won't. You give God number one place in your heart, number one, the Word of God will be number one in your life. You will get to the place you can't get enough of it. You'll desire it. You'll long for it. I don't care who you are, where you've been saved 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 years, or 100 years. Brother, you'll love the Word of God. And the more you love God, the more you'll love His Word. Amen. Now, some of you got the place that you have with your husbands and your wife. You've been married a long time and you start taking them for granted. Amen. Wife says, I love you. He said, I love you. Said, well, you don't never tell me. He says, well, I told you back yonder, and I told you back yonder also that if I ever got the place I didn't love you anymore, I'd tell you. Amen. But a woman likes to be told she's loved. So does a man. But I want to tell you this morning, brother, we get the place we told God we loved Him yonder years ago and we ain't done it since. We ought to get back to the place that we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our might. Amen. Is that right? That's the Bible. We ought to love God. First and great commandment is to love the Lord God with all your soul, mind, body, and soul. I mean, strength, everything. You're to love Him with all your strength. Amen. And then the second one is one is hard. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And then he says, pray for your enemies, them who despitefully use you. And that's one of the hardest scriptures for me. May not be hard for you, but it is me. When somebody's biting my head off, somebody's slapping me around, somebody misusing me and talking about me, it's hard for me to get down and say, Lord, I want you to touch them unless you knock the daylights out of them. Amen. That's the way I want to pray, but that's not right. But we pray for those who despitefully use us. Those who talk about us. And amen. Now that's one reason that we don't read the Word of God. We just get involved in those things. But you know what? I also found some other things. I found out that there's a lot of people that want to argue with the Word of God. Most of the time it's lost people. Lost people want to argue with the Word of God. You preach the Word of God and they'll argue with it. They'll say, I don't believe it's like that. Kind of like a woman spoke up and said, hey, the Lord said over there in the Word of God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the fellow jumped up and said, that might be for you, but that's not for me. I don't believe that. I believe there's some other things and some other ways to get to heaven. I don't believe Jesus is the only way to glory. Well, she looked at him and said, I'm just going by what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, it talks about no man come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you might have your own idea. Don't argue with the Word of God. The Word of God is fine and is final and is foremost. And brother, it ought to be first in your life. I want you to know the Word of God is true. There's no contradictions. It's real. Don't argue with the Word of God. But multitudes argue with the Word of God. Secondly, others want to rebel against His authority. Lost people, they want to rebel against the Word of God. If God said it, they're not going to do it. I don't believe it's that way. Listen, God sent it and sealed it and sent it thousands of years before you got here, before the mud seals the world's ever laid. God had already had His plan, and God has already laid out what He wanted to say, and He's done said it. And I want you to know, don't rebel against what God said. And then there's always that crowd that wants to nitpick what God says. I always get amazed. Sometimes you come to church and I always kind of look around. I ain't seen nobody. You men, I try to check, make sure you ain't got a big magnifying glass in your back pocket. You know, kind of looking everything. Going to look at everything. Now, if you come looking for something wrong, you're going to find something wrong. Amen. I'll tell you right now, you don't have to put no magnifying glass on me, brother. You don't even have to have your glasses. You can take your contacts out and find problems with me. And I'd do the same thing with you. We're all this morning no good. Put us in a pot, dump us out. I don't know which one would come out first. I don't know which one would be the worst. We're all sinners before God, saved by a holy God. And I want you to know this morning, we need to come before God, take the Word of God. And I want to go on to the Word here this morning in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation to show you that the Word of God's real. And we need that right hand of God. I believe God's right-handed. I'm not trying to be critical. You left-handed folks. I got a grandson left-handed. I don't know what in the world. Ain't you left-handed? Amen. Both of them are. Oh, he can ride on both of them. Oh, he don't know which way he wants to go then. Amen. But I tell you, how many left-handed folks we got in the building? You probably won't. All right, we got one. Amen. We got some left-handed folks. I'm not against you. But for somehow, something got crossed up. Amen. I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying something happened. I suppose as a kid you could have wrote with your left right toe or left big toe. Amen. You've been taught that way. I know some that can. Amen. But I know you can be taught that. But I believe God's right-handed. Because it said right here in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I want God's hand on me, I want it to be His right hand. Amen. Matter of fact, I know if He touched me with the right hand, everything's going to be right. Won't be nothing wrong, will He? All right. Now, let's go back and look at this Scripture, please. If you'll look with me in chapter 1, verse 9, John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said, was in the isle that is called Patmos. And he tells us why he was over there. He was an outcast. He was put out because he was the preacher of God. Because he stood for the truth. And he said, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why do you think they put him on the Isle of Patmos? It says, for the Word of God. Everywhere he is going, he is preaching what? The Word of God. He was not preaching out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. He was not preaching current events from the local newspaper. He was not quoting somebody out of the encyclopedias. He was preaching the Word of God. Everywhere he went, they heard the Word of God. He had nothing to say but the Word of God, and the Word of God got him put off on the Isle of Patmos. He said, preacher, that's enough right now. I ain't going to say nothing about the Word of God because I don't want to go to Patmos. Amen. That's about the way people take it. But John stood, and John preached the Word of God, and he's put over there for the Word of God, and secondly, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, he'd give a testimony that he knew Jesus Christ. Amen. He would tell you, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He'd go to 1 John, and he'd say, brother, he's the one I've handled, my hands have handled, and my eyes have seen. And he began to talk about the Christ who had redeemed him and resurrected him, spiritually speaking, from the dead. And brother, all he had to say was good things about the Lord God Almighty. And they said, that's enough, John. And they took him to the Isle of Patmos, and I can see him waving as they went away and said, you deserve every bit of it. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how I would feel when I'd be put on the Isle of Patmos by myself. But John now knows he's all by himself. Sometimes God's got to get us alone before He can even speak to us. Then in verse number 10, amen, it said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Some of y'all go through the Lord's Day today and not even be able to say that. But John went down on the Isle of Patmos. Here he is. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Spirit of God come upon me. Bro, that's the best thing you can ever have to you is to have the Spirit of God come upon you. Amen. He said, I'm in the Spirit. Amen. Some of you wouldn't know the Spirit if it hit you. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God got a hold of John. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then guess what? He said, I heard. You'll never hear the voice of God till you get in the Spirit. Amen. Now let's look at the sequences here. God's got a sequence and He's laid it out for John. John's laid it out for you and me. And so I want you to know it's going to work the same way in your life in 2014. On this fourth day of May, amen, I want you to know it'll work the same way for you. It will. Brother, the first thing he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and then he said, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I started to be mean. I started to call up Brother Joseph and tell him to bring that trumpet. And when I got to this portion, and it said, John, behind him he heard, I was going to get him to step in that door and blow that trumpet and see how many of you would scatter. That's basic. Can you put yourself in the place? That's what happened. John was sitting there on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and all of a sudden the trumpet blows behind him. I guess that's enough to make him come out of his shoes. I heard something. Are you with me? And he said right here in the Word, he said, heard behind me a great voice. And the voice was so loud. Somebody said, I just don't like that loud preaching. Amen. I know you don't. Some folks don't like loud preaching because they can't sleep under loud preaching. Amen. Some folks like these little preachers that go and speak. I went to church one day. I got up and I wasn't in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If I had been, I wouldn't have went there. But I told my wife, I wasn't pastoring that time, and I said, I think the Lord wants us to go down the road here and hear Brother so-and-so. I hadn't heard him preach in a long time. And let's go down and hear him preach this morning. She said, all right. So we get ready. And I drive the little distance and get down. Now, I done told her, the Lord told me to get there. And we went in. This is kind of hard to swallow when you tell your family that the Lord told you to. Now, you ain't never done that, I'm sure. But I have. And we went in that day, and I looked for the pastor, didn't see the pastor. And here come a fella stood up there, and he said the pastor took a little day of vacation and gone somewhere. And he said he called me to come and preach for him this morning. And I'm saying, we got problems. Because I've done heard this fella before. I knew I was in trouble. Well, I didn't want to make a scene. I done told my wife that the Lord wanted us to go down there. So I was going to save face for a little of it. I'm saying to myself, if she says anything about the Lord told you to go, I'm going to say, yeah. I didn't know the preacher was going to be gone, but for some reason God wanted us to go there. But I didn't know how I was going to get out of that. I'm sitting during service trying to figure it out. He gets up, he starts. And he tries to start a little bit more. And he keeps trying to start. He never got cranked. He started. I thought he was going to burn his starter up. I looked around and some of them was winding their watches. Some of them was listening. They was watching watches. And I thought to myself, I don't like people watching their watches when I'm a preaching. And I don't like it. Amen. And I see they had a clock in the back and they was turning around every little bit looking at that clock in the back. And I'm sitting there, and they're playing with keys and thumbing through the song books. And matter of fact, I got to thumbing through my Bible. I mean, I wanted to entertain myself somehow. And so we got through. Went through it, endured. I tell you, I endured that. And I got up, we got out, walked down the aisle, and went out the door. And as we went out the door, my wife said, what do you think about that? I said, I know what the Bible means now when it says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I said, I endured every bit of that. And I had to admit I wasn't in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. But I'll tell you, brother, I would look at the Word of God here and I can see John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and then I heard behind me a voice. He heard. He first of all got in the Spirit. Secondly, he heard. Then the third thing he done is found in verse number 12. Look up here. It said, "And I turned to see." I turned to see the voice that spake with me. I turned. Amen. The first thing you do, you get in the Spirit. Amen. Brother, if you're lost, this is where Holy Ghost conviction gets a hold of you, begins to convict you of sin and show you that you're a sinner, and the Holy Ghost begins to shake you out over hell and let you know that there's a burning hell that you're going to have to serve and stay in forever and forever and forever. And then God will show you there's a Savior that can redeem you. And brother, when He does that, He brings you to the altar. You get up, and what do? You turn. Amen. You look at it to see. Brother, I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes into your heart, He turns you. When you hear, Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to first hear a preacher. How can you hear a preacher? Amen. You can't hear a preacher unless God sends you a preacher. He can't preach unless God sends him. Amen. God's got to give you a preacher to preach. Brother, I want you to know this morning when the Word of God is preached to you, you hear the truth, then the next thing you do is you turn to see. You got it in order? Then in verse number 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, then John said, I what? I saw." So he got in the Spirit of the Lord's day, he heard, he turned, then he saw. He said, "I saw seven golden candlesticks." That's the church. First thing you seen was a church house. Amen. That's what happens when people get saved. They start seeing the church house. Where's this? Where's Jesus at? In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Read on down in the book of John or Revelation. You'll find out that John tells us that the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. They're a type of the church. So I want you to know this morning, where's Jesus? He's in the midst of the churches. That's where the Lord is. If you want to see the voices speaking, you'll have to get down to the house of God. That's the best place. Now, I'm not saying you can't hear the Lord in the back room of your house. I'm not saying you can't hear the Lord in the car. I'm not saying that you can't hear the Lord somewhere else. But I am telling you the best place to hear the voice of God is down in His house where He goes all the time. Amen. I like this. Jesus is a 100% churchgoer. He has never laid out a one. He has never had any excuse not to go. He's there 100% of the time. Amen. You say, "Well now, preacher, you believe He's in all the churches?" The Bible said He's in the midst of those where two or three gather together in His name, He'd be in the midst. That's where He's at. And if they're not gathering in His name, it ain't a church no hand. Say amen right there. Said so-and-so goes to church and they wouldn't know the voice of God. That's right. They would never see the Lord because He didn't show. There's a lot of churches this morning the Lord ain't been to. He left a long time ago and ain't been invited back. He'll go back if He ever get invited, but they run Him off a long time ago. Amen. And He's not welcome. Now He won't go where He's not welcome. You've got the invite to Lord. You said, "I thought He invited us in." He does. We get in Him, He gets in us, and brother, then we have fellowship one with another. I want you to know this morning, brother, God will meet us at the church house. So the thing that happened here is He turned, and the third thing, He saw. He saw. What did He see? He saw first the church. Then He saw the Christ of the church. I like this. Look here. The Bible said in verse 13, "And in the midst." What's that? What's the word midst? Middle. Right in the middle. The Lord wasn't sitting in the corner. He wasn't on the outer edge. He wasn't a cheerleader on the stands trying to egg them on. Where was Jesus? In the middle of it. Brother, God wants to be in the middle of the church. He wants to be the middle of your life. He wants to be the central focus of everything and whoever you are. Boy, one good way you can tell where you're saved this morning is how things go with you. Now, you have troubles. Sometimes people have troubles by the bagful. I've had people say, "Preacher, I've got troubles. It just seems like everything turns against me. Everything goes in the wrong direction for me. Everything's upside down. It just, to me, looks like it's just a useless thing trying to serve God." I had one fellow one time tell me, he said, "Since I got saved," he said, "it's been worser than it was when I wasn't saved." He said, "I've had more trouble since I got saved than I had before I ever got saved." I said, "That don't bother me. I mean, that don't surprise me none." That's right. If you ever get right with God, the devil's going to crawl on your case. Now, if you've got troubles in your life, I said something about this in the Sunday school. You got trouble after trouble coming your way. Brother, sometimes we harvest trouble by the acre. Get out of one crisis, another crisis. That crisis, another crisis. That crisis to another crisis. One tragedy to another tragedy. One problem to another problem. Another problem to another problem. And we seem never get out of that. I can't see the light of day. I can't get my head above water sometimes. I've heard people say that a lot. Now, when it gets to that place, you know what I do? I get on my knees and I say, Lord, there's one of two things here. Either you're trying to stop me in my tracks and get me straightened out to be where I ought to be with God, with you. And you're trying to bring a chastisement upon me and whip me with all these obstacles, all these troubles, all these trials. Or either, Lord, you're trying to... the devil's after me to try to keep me from doing things for you. Now, which one is it? Until we get the place that God is number one, I mean top of the list. I'm not talking about thinking about Him. I'm talking about living for Him. And our mind totally centered upon God. Brother, things are going to get rough. When you get real close to God and God begins to bless, it seems like troubles don't bother you anymore. You just expect them. I expect them. Amen. If I go a week this week without trouble, you know what I'm going to say? Lord, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. Amen. You said, not me, preacher. I have a week, I ain't got no troubles. I'm going to shout for a while. I don't know. I get a week like that, I ain't got no troubles. I don't know where I want to shout or not. I might think I'm doing something. Amen. But the devil always shows up. Well, guess what he saw? He saw the church. Then he saw the one in the midst of the church. Now look at verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. What's that remind you of? There's three Hebrew children cast down in the fiery furnace. The old king got up and said, did we not throw three men down there? He said, yeah, that's right, king. He said, hey, there's a fourth one down there. And said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Amen! So guess what? They saw the Son of God. John said, hey, I turned and saw somebody in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and I get to look a little bit, and I do declare, I honestly believe, oh yes, thank God, I certainly think that's the Son of God! Now remember, he's in the Spirit of the Lord today. No telling how he's acting about that time. Amen. I leave old John getting beside himself. Amen. No wonder they put him on the Isle of Patmos. They couldn't take him today. Amen. They couldn't have handled this. Two or three of you was to break loose and God go to stir in your soul and you go to shout and live it. There'd be some more looking over at you and said, I wonder if that's real. Why, you can't even give a holy grunt. Leave everybody else alone. Amen. Well, here's what he said in verse 13. And he said, he's clothed with a garment down the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Look at verse number 14. I want you to circle these little words. In verse 14, his. Every time you see the word his, I want you to circle it when I read it. What did John see? He saw one in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. First of all, he saw his head. Amen. And then he said, and his hairs. He saw his head, his hairs were like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes. He saw his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet. He saw his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice. He saw his voice. Amen. As the sound of many waters. Verse number 16, and he had in his right hand, he saw his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth, he saw his mouth, and went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, that's his facial expression, was as the sun shineth in his strength. He saw his strength. And then John said, that's more than I can handle. When I get to seeing his face, his countenance, I saw his hand, I saw his feet, I saw his voice, I saw his eyes, I saw his head, I saw his hair. Glory to God, John said, that's all I can take. And he fell down at his feet as a dead man. Now how long has it been since you've been there? Don't you think we need to see the glorified Christ? Who did he see in chapter 1? He saw the glorified Christ. The resurrected Christ. This is not the Christ who walked I'm talking about as He looked there. This is the Christ that was on the earth that gave Himself. But this is not Him in that sense here. Same one, same person, don't get me wrong. But we find Him in a different category. We find Him now not in His personal body upon the earth. We find Him in His glorified, glorious body. And John sees, brother, something he's never saw before. And brother, he falls at His feet as a dead man. And the Bible said in verse 17, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead." And then it said, "And He laid His right hand upon me." Now, I said I need His right hand. I need His right hand upon me. I need His right hand upon me. Now, you said, "Preacher, what are you saying all that for?" Because if I'm going to get His right hand upon me, I'm going to have to be in the Spirit. I'm going to have to hear His voice. I'm going to have to turn. I'm going to have to see Him as He is and not me as I am. I'm going to have to see Him as the glorified Christ who has been given for me, who loves me, ministers to me, and accepts me in the Beloved. I'm going to have to see Him and not me. I'm going to have to see Him and not others. I'm going to have to see Him and not things. And then when I see Him and I get all I can handle, I'm going to have to fall at His feet as a dead man. And I'm going to become nothing and let Him do the rest of it. And then He'll put His right hand upon me. Now what we're trying to do is get His right hand on us without all that other before. We don't want to hear Him. We don't want to look for Him. We don't want to seek His face. We don't want to read His Word. And we expect God to put His right hand upon us. Now, I didn't do justice to this. I did not do justice to this Scripture. Brother, if I could preach it like it ought to be preached, we'd be here till dark. I want you to know He saw Christ. I didn't break down those things He saw. When you look in the eyes of the Savior, you look at the face of the Savior, when you look at the Savior's feet, when you look at the Savior's hands, when you see Him as He is, the glorified Christ, brother, you won't have to bow. You'll fall at His feet. And I say, "God, I want Your right hand upon me, that I need to fall at His feet. But I need to get the glory of God on me first." Amen. I need to get in the right place. I need to get where God can use me. I'm talking to you saved folks this morning. That's the only way we're going to get the right hand of God on us is to go through these things first. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We come to the instrument. And I pray this morning God touch you. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Do you want His right hand upon you? Do you want His right hand upon you? Do you want to pay the price to get His right hand upon you? 354 is going to be our number in the blue book. I want you to stand. 354. I want His right hand upon me. I want His right hand upon me. Lord, I want Your right hand upon me. Lord, I want Your right hand upon me. Lord, I need Your right hand upon me. Lord, I need Your right hand upon me. Lord, I need Your right hand upon me. I need Your touch. Lord, I need Your right hand.